Okay, the shiur tonight, Be'ezrat Hashem, have four sessions that we are going to talk about mitzvot ben adam l'chavero, the mitzvot that is nogea between a woman to her friend, and also as to the community, things that women are obligated to, or is a mitzvah to do for the community and for their friends. Tonight I want to talk about the halachot of gemilut chasadim and achnasat orchim. What would be a proper way of doing a chesed, and what would be the proper way of inviting guests to their home? And the mitzvah of achnasat orchim is not only about inviting people to your home. It also has to do how to deal with them, what to do. Get them involved with your house. There's a lot of details to that, which we are going to try to cover this halachot tonight. First, I want to talk about gemilut chasadim. Chesed, doing a chesed, overall is a very important mitzvah, and the Gemara is telling us that kol ha'osek v'gemilut chasadim zoche la'arichut yamim v'netzur mimavet v'ketzur yamim. The Gemara says that anybody that does gemilut chasadim is involved with doing a chesed, Hashem gives them a long life, and also a person could be saved from dying young. Ve'ra'ui lekol echad lishtadel la'asot chesed kefi yecholton. Therefore, everyone is have an obligation to do a chesed as much as they can, right? And they should not let it go. Opportunities that come your way, you should not let go of doing a chesed to somebody. Now, we think that doing a chesed means in a big way. That's not what I want to give you examples of doing chesed, which is not in a big scale. Small things that is considered a chesed, and we don't pay attention to them. For instance, you always should have money in your pocket. If somebody comes to you and says, "Do you have four quarters for a dollar?" Give them. That's considered a chesed. That's a gemilut chasadim. And if somebody comes knocking at your door, don't tell yourself, "Let them wait. They could wait half an hour, no, 20 minutes for me to open the door." They knock at the door, open right away. That's the chesed. That's considered gemilut chasadim. Also, if a telephone rings, pick it up right away. So when you let the other person, the other side, wait for your picking up the phone, you are mitza'er, you are bothering, you are hurting somebody, and you don't know what they have to go through to call you, and it might take long time. Know that I say this all the time. The fact that there is a caller ID is not a big deal. It's not good. Because you're looking at the caller ID and saying to yourself, "I don't want to talk to this guy now. Right? Let him call, let them leave a message." You are not doing a chesed to them. It might be convenient for us, but it's not a chesed for the other person, the other side of the phone, because when they call, they want to talk to you. Right? Therefore, if somebody has an opportunity to pick up the phone and they don't, if you are busy at something else, if you don't want to don't feel like talking to somebody, you are taking away the act of a chesed from yourself, which you could have done. Also, people are involved with doing chesed to everybody else except themselves, except their own family. That is the Chazal tell us that people that they do chesed to other people, they don't do chesed to themselves. But in Shamaim, they are not going to give them any reward for the chesed they did outside. Because if you don't take care of your own family first, you don't take care of the people that you are involved first, that you have an opportunity, your wife, your children, your husband, that you could do a chesed with them first, then by Shamaim, you are not going to get reward for the chesed that you did outside. Saying hi. Saying shalom, shalom aleichem, or good morning, good night, good evening, whatever it is. That's a chesed. That's considered gemilut chasadim. When you see somebody, now we don't live in New York. In Atlanta, Baruch Hashem, people are much more friendlier, and they say hi. In New York, they shake their head. I don't know what they mean. Yes, I mean no. I don't know what they mean. They just shake their sideways, up, down. But in Atlanta, people are much more friendlier, and they say hi. You should answer hi to somebody. Somebody says shalom aleichem, you say aleichem shalom, or good morning. Well, when you walk the street, I say that all the time. When you see these joggers, they walk by, you should say good morning to them. You should say good evening. First of all, not only is the gemilut chasadim, also you're doing a kiddush Hashem, especially on Shabbos. Shabbos, when you walk past, you come to the shul, you see all these people walking in the street, you have an opportunity to make a kiddush Hashem, and also doing a chesed to this. You know, when they see these guys walk up 6 o'clock in the morning, walking all around the street, and have nobody to talk to, somebody gives them a chizuk. When you tell them shalom aleichem, good morning, don't have to say good Shabbos to them. Say good morning, how are you doing? You give them the strength to go on. That's a chesed. Also, when you sit, and sometimes you sit at home, or your friend calls you, and he wants to tell you a joke, right? You already heard this joke 20 times. I don't want to hear it anymore. Don't show that you heard it. So when you show them, you say, you listen to their joke, and you show them there's the first time you're hearing it, that's the chesed. That's considered gemilut chasadim. Also, let's say your friend comes to you and says, no, I bought a nice coat. How much did you pay for it? $50. And you know, this lady paid too much for that coat. Could have, she really was a sale somewhere, and they could have get it much cheaper. Don't tell them that you paid too much. Don't say that. What's the point of saying that? Just say it was beautiful, it's nice, it's good, and let them be happy with what they got. By just saying that, when you say something, a nice word to somebody, that's considered a gemilut chasadim. That's considered a chesed. Now, let's say they ask you, what do you think about this jacket? You don't like it. You know you don't like it, or it's not your taste. But you know they like it. The fact they bought it, they must be they like it. Say it's beautiful, it's like I would get the same thing. Now say a good word about the things that they bought. Because when you say that I don't like it, that means they put a doubt in their mind, and they might give it back, or they are not happy with it, whatever it is. But when you make somebody to have argasha tova, to have a good feeling about something that they did, that's considered a gemilut chasadim. Now, if you know, but and there's another halachic side to this, if let's say somebody came to you and said, I paid $50 for this jacket, you know really the price for this jacket is $10, right? And you know the store owner tricked them. You are allowed to tell them that you paid too much, and the guy tricked you. That you are allowed to say. But if the price that they paid everywhere, you know, it could be up and down, they could have got somewhere cheaper, that's, don't say anything. But if you know somebody tricked somebody and they overcharged them, and you know that they really ripped them off, that you are allowed to say to them, you know what, you pay too much and you should go and return it and get your money back and buy from somewhere else. That you are allowed to say. Now, also, when you are in the shul, and when here Shalach Tzibur says Kaddish or Chazarat Hashas, and you have opportunity to say Baruch Hu, Baruch Shem, and Amen, say it out loud. Right? When you say it out loud for other people to be around, and you're encouraging them to answer also because you said, that's a chesed. You are doing a chesed to next person that's sitting next to you, and you mezakeh otam, you encourage them and give them the opportunity to answer Amen. Now, also, let's say you're on the street and you see somebody stuck in the rubbish road and they need your help, you should go out and help them. That's no known fact. I'm sure everybody does that. But what happens that, let's say you are in a hurry. If you stop to help this person or make a phone call or call AAA or whatever it is, or give them ride to some mechanic, you are going to lose your appointment, or you're going to miss your appointment, you're going to miss work, or it's going to affect you somehow, then you are patur, you don't have to do it. If it's going to cause upset mamon, that you're going to be lost of money for you, don't have to worry about it. Also, if you know the person that you are helping, you are not sure if it's safe or it's not, then don't have to help that either. In any situation, this halakha only applies if you are going to help somebody and it's not going to affect you, right? Affect you spiritually or physically. If it's going to affect, let's say, the person you are helping is not the best moral person, right? Or let's say a man is helping a lady is not the tzniut. You don't have to put yourself in a situation to help somebody and you are going to it's going to affect you in some way, somehow, you don't have to do that. Now, also, let's say somebody needs ride, but you know, if you tell them, do you want to come with me? He's going to say, or she's going to tell you, no, I don't want to bother you. You are allowed to lie and say, I'm going that way, in order to give them a ride, and you want to give them, you want to do a chesed, you are allowed to it's not considered a lie. He's saying, no, I'm going to go that way anyways, I'll give you a ride. Because you want to do that, you are allowed to say that. Now, also, sometimes you sit in a bus, or it happens a lot, or you're sitting in a train. Somebody comes in, an older lady or a pregnant lady walks in to the bus or to the train. You have, and that's a responsibility, that if you are fine, you should get up and give your space to another person. But if you are not fine, you don't have to hurt yourself to help somebody else. So let's say somebody is dizzy and they get a headache when they stand up. You don't have to hurt yourself or put yourself through a non-convenience is fine, but putting yourself through a sickness and standing up, giving your room to somebody or your place to somebody else, that you don't have to do it. Another halacha, which is also is a chesed and is a kiddush Hashem, is when you're sitting in a shul, women's side, is that nashim, or the man's side, anywhere. Somebody new comes into shul, by the fact that you get up and you give them a siddur, to show them, or say you have a makom kavua, you have a set place that you sit. Somebody comes in, sits in your place, right? Should, first of all, asur to tell these people to get up. Number one. Number two, you should never give them a feeling that, you know, you're sitting in my seat. Unfortunately, there are places that they do that. The people, they go up to them and say, no, I'm sorry, could you move? That's you know, what the argasha, what a feeling these people could have when somebody is going up to them and tell them, you're sitting in my seat, would you please move? Or by the fact you stand up there also, you should give them bad feelings. Therefore, one should be very, very careful when you come into this type of situation to give them argashat, or somebody new comes into shul, by the fact you go tell them shalom aleichem, the only shalom aleichem, that's a big chesed, that's a gemilut chasadim that a person could do. This next topic is a little sticky, and one has to be very careful. You have to use your shikul adat, you have to use your head, your brain, to see if you want to be involved in this type of situation. Let's say you have a friend, and your friend is doing something against halacha. And if you have an opportunity to show them or to tell them what's right, what's wrong, the biggest chesed that they can do. No other chesed, not a bigger chesed than telling somebody that, you know, what you did is wrong. But not always is a good idea to do that. Because if a person not say, is not going to say it in a right way, not only you are not going to save or to fix somebody, you could have ramification, a bad ramification to you also. Therefore, one has to be very careful. You have to use your judgment and find a right way how to talk to them and how to relay the message to them that what they do is wrong. You have to ask Shaila. Is it every situation is different, especially if people have parents that are not from, or you have cousins that are not from, or your father is from, your mother is not from, whatever. There's so many different combinations in place. You have to use the judgment to find out how to deal with it. Also, sometimes, again, to put shalom, to put peace between two people, the gewaltic is a beautiful thing, right? That also it might cause for somebody to get hurt by that. There's a very interesting Gemara. Gemara says that if somebody sees kedera b'chalom, siman yafelo. If you dream about a pot, right? This is a beautiful dream, it's a good dream. So what's the point of seeing a pot in the dream is a good dream? Why seeing a pot is dreaming about a pot is good? For the Maharsha explains the Gemara, the reason is good because pot, when you are water and you are fire, the only thing that is between fire and the water is the pot. And therefore the pot is the one that makes shalom between the water and the fire. And when you dream about the pot, it's a beautiful thing. You sing shalom. But Rabbi Chizkel Abramsky says a beautiful touch to this. He says that sometimes this pot gets burned out also in the middle. You have to be very careful that the pot doesn't get burned out. He's there to make shalom between fire and the water, but sometimes in the process it gets burned out too. It gets black. You know, so when you put so too much, you're too long on the fire, the pot becomes black. You have to be very careful when we get involved with putting shalom between people, and in the process somebody could get hurt. And if you are the one going to get hurt, don't get involved. It's not the fight that you want to be involved with. But if you have an opportunity to put a good word to make peace between two people, that also is considered a big gemilot chesed, a chesed gadol, to get involved with that. Now, the halachot of achmasat orchim. Achnasad Orchim, the Gemara tells us that Bizman Shabbat HaMikdash Kayam Mizbeach Mechaper Al Adam Al Yedei Shemakriv Alav Korbanot. When the HaMikdash, we had the Bet HaMikdash, the Mizbeach, the altar, was the one that really took care of Bnei Israel by the fact they brought Korbanot. Now that we don't have Bet HaMikdash, Shulchano Shel Adam Mechaper, the table that you are eating on, that's the kapara for the sins. But when you bring up, when you bring orchim, you bring guests. Thank you very much. By the fact you bring in guests to your table, that is mamash a mizbeach. It cannot be any better altar than for kapara tavonot, that bringing guests to your table. The Gemara says people that they have achmasat orchim, they are zoche, they are going to be married to have children that are Talmidei Chachamim and Gedolim Batorah. And you see that in Inyan of Achnasat Orchim is all the Gemara also says, Yoter Gadol Mashkamat Bet HaMidrash, is bigger than going to Bet Midrash and learn Torah. That's what Achnasat Orchim is. Now, I want to talk about a few big issues regarding Achnasat Orchim, which which is really nogeya to a lot of people. First of all, let's say you want to have a guest. Your husband doesn't want to have a guest. Right? Somebody called you, say, and says, would you please host so-and-so for Friday night? I don't have a place to go. They need a place. And your husband or your wife or whoever it is says, no, I'm not interested. I don't want to have a guest. And by you bringing the guest home is going to cause a problem, Shalom Bayit. What should you do? You might say to yourself, what's the big deal? For sure you get a listen to your husband, to your wife. That's not true. Because when you're dealing with Achnasad Orchim, Achnasad Orchim is like Mekabel Pene Shekhina. Right? It's like you're accepting the Pene Shekhina. What is more important? Therefore, the first thing that the person has, there's two options that you have. Option number one, if somebody calls up, says, listen, I have a guest, they need a place. If there is another place to go, then for sure they have to send him to another place. Let's say the guy says, no, I tried everybody, nobody is able to host them. Would you please host them? And you know you got a problem with your wife or your husband. They don't want. The two options are either you go look for somebody and make sure they are set, that you can do, or you have to convince the other person to accept them. Somehow it has to be dealt with. You cannot just say, I'm sorry, I can't do it, you are on your own, go look for yourself, find somewhere that to go. You cannot leave somebody outside to deal with this. And I know it's not comfortable. People might have a hard time, but they have to deal with it. I'm not saying to have a fight, it's not what I'm saying, but they have to deal with the situation. It's a mitzvah that came in your way. You can't just ignore the situation and say, I'm tired, I can't have guests, I can't do this, I can't that. But if you find a place for them, you did your obligation, you did the chesed, you did achnasat orchim. That you said achnasat orchim means that if somebody needs a place, you took care of them. Either you take care of them or find a place that they are taking care of. Now, question is, who is considered a guest? Right? Is anybody that your next door neighbor is considered a guest? Or anybody comes out of the streets considered a guest? Who is considered a guest? Guest is somebody that doesn't have a place to eat. Somebody from out of town, or even in town. If you have, let's say, you have bachelors, they don't have a place to go, or they really need a family to be Friday night with, that's considered orayach, that's considered achnasat orchim. But if you have, let's say, your next door neighbor, you want to be together, right? That's not achnasat, a nice thing to do, it's nothing wrong. But that's not achnasat orchim, right? When you get together, people get together and they sit around and they drink and they talk and they till 4 o'clock Shabbos afternoon, right? That is fine, but no mitzvah to do that. And by the way, sitting till 4 o'clock Shabbos afternoon is gotta be crazy to do that. It's only in Atlanta, by the way. Nowhere else they do it. The other thing is, when you have guests that you invite to come to your house and you sit there and you joke, and that for sure is asur to do that. If you moshav lesim lo yashav, when you have people that there's no point of having people around just joking and making letzanut of things, that's not the proper thing to be around anyway. Therefore, whoever you are, even your next door neighbor, you invite him to come to your house, it has to be a point to it. It has to be something, you are accomplishing something by it. Not shouldn't be at least Moshav Letzim. Another thing that a person should do, the person has to, you have to have happy face. That's very important. Now, I know sometimes it's very difficult. I know it's not easy to be happy and to have a happy face. Let's say your husband being some obnoxious guy in your house, right? And you can't handle it. You can't sit at a table with him or with her, right? What do you do? Now the Pirkei Avot says, "Mekabel et kol ha'adam b'sever panim yafot." The Meiri, which is one of the Rishonim, explains what does that mean, "Mekabel et kol ha'adam b'sever panim yafot." Ahadam, you should have really say Adam. Why I say Ahadam? There is a head. He said, because every person has one good thing that you could find in them. Look for that good thing and stick with it. Then show a happy face to that good thing. You don't have to see the whole person, right? Not everybody is completely fine. Everybody could have problems, but everybody also have something good that figure pinpoint that good thing and stay with that and show them that you are besimcha. But if somebody is not besimcha, they are really upset and they really stingy about having guests, don't invite them, because that could really hurt the Baal HaBayit, could hurt the person physically, could hurt them, and it's not good to have somebody and you are not happy by the fact that you have them as your guests in your house. If you have to either, you have to really invite people that you are happy and you really want them to be there. When you have guests in your house, there are alachot that first of all, I have to mention one thing. You are not allowed to do anything against alacha because you want to have guests in your house. Misad alacha, you have to follow alacha. There are certain things that could lie or not lie, change your word because you want to give them a good feeling, but you cannot do anything against alacha. Now, sometimes people have guests in their home, they want to give them to make kiddush, or they want to let them to make amotfi, or they want to let them to do this. First of all, kiddush in the house belongs only to Baal HaBayit. You should not give kiddush to anybody to make. They want to make their own kiddush. The guest says, "No, I want to make one." That's fine. But the kiddush for the household has to be done by Baal HaBayit. Number two, the amotzi of the house also should be done by Baal HaBayit. Should not give it to anybody else. Number three, the birkat hamazon in the house, you should give it to the oreach. The birkat of the benching belongs to the guest, and that's the one you should give to. Now, when you make amotzi in the house, the husband obviously makes the amotzi, and they cut down the bread. When you give it out, the husband should give to the wife first. Now, it's a nice thing to do, but it's more than that. Al-Pi Kabbalah, the Zohar HaKadosh brings that a person should give his wife the Beket HaMotzi, the Lechem of HaMotzi, first more than before anybody else. The Arizal being said, and he says, Rav Chaim Vital writes that Arizal, whenever he made amotzi, that's what he did. They gave first, even if it was Rabbanim in the house, was Anshim Gedolim in the house, he gave his wife first a piece of bread. So therefore, one has to make sure that this happens, even though that other people might be in the house, or let's say your parents are there, and they're going to say, "What's going on here? Why don't you give us a piece of bread first? Right, they have to give up to respect us." Yeah, if you want to do that, if you are in that situation, then give both of them at the same time. But you shouldn't. I should give your wife. The wife should get first. Also, the minhag that Halacha Shulchan Aruch brings, that the reason, by the way, that a person should not let an oreach, a guest, to make the amotzi, is because Shulchan Aruch says that when you cut up the challah for everybody, you should give a big pieces to everybody, right? And so therefore, the halacha is, if you give the, let the oreach do that, the guests do that, the guest is going to feel uncomfortable to cut big pieces. It's going to give everybody a small pieces. It's going to be uncomfortable. It's not going to do the right thing, and you don't want to put the guest in that situation to make a wrong decision, to do the wrong thing. That's why the oreach, the guest, should not make the amotzi. one should be careful also not to look at the guests when they eat. You know, leave them alone, let them do whatever they want. And also, a person should not be bekas, should not be upset or angry at home if, let's say, there's an issue between him and the kid, or let's say a kid broke something or something is lost in the house. Don't say in front of the guest that, you know, did somebody take this or that? Because they might think they did. You're really pointing to them, right? You are really talking to them. So did you take it? And you have to be very careful how to use your word and who, in front of who you are talking. Also, the Baal HaBayit, when they eat at home, they should be careful that you eat at the same time when the Orchim, the guests, are eating, and finish the same time. If you finish earlier than them, then they think, no, Atkan, we have to stop right here. Even though that you finished already eating, or you don't want to take any more, you should take more and put it in your plate and play with it, and that the guests should continue eating, and they shouldn't feel uncomfortable, and they shouldn't feel that they get to stop eating right away. These are it all has to do with the feelings that you give the guests, that they should feel comfortable. Also, when you bring food at the table, or let's say plates, you bring plates to the table for everybody, you should give equally to all the guests the same amount. You should not give more to one and less to somebody else. That also gives them feelings that they are not chashuv, they are not important. The other person is more important than me. That you have to be very careful. And again, giving breads out, you have to give everybody the same amount and the same way, in the same place, and everybody should be dealt in a proper way. Now, let's say you are going to have a guest that's not Shomer Shabbat, right? We know that that also is a little uncomfortable when you have people like that. You want them to make amot. The Shulchan Aruch says that one should not give food to somebody if they know they are not going to make beracha, right? And now you have somebody came into your house, they're going to eat without a beracha, and you are the one that caused this to happen. How do you get around that? So Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, that Tzal, said that you shouldn't say anything. If you get to try your best, give them a kippah, tell them that you are going to make a mosque, do everything that you can that they should make a bracha. But if you see they are not going to do it, then you can't tell them, listen, I'm not going to serve you food, you could leave now, because you can't make a bracha. That makes a chilul Hashem. And he said because of that, you are allowed to let them have, but you should try, say that the one idea that you can do is the Baal HaBayit should make the bracha out loud and let the person hear it and eat it. This, even without a kippah, even if he refuses to put a kippah on, when you say, I'm making a bracha, everybody should listen to my bracha, that also helps for the person that doesn't make a bracha, doesn't want to make a bracha. This way, it could be yotze with that. Also, when, especially Friday night or Shabbos morning, when you have guests, they're coming to your house, don't wait. A lot of time people come, they sit on the couch for half an hour, 45 minutes to make it. That's not the proper thing to do. You have guests, should make a kiddush right away. The reason, besides Friday night, you know, the Midrash tells us that two malachim, the two angels are coming with us, they're waiting for a person to make kiddush. Right? You can't just wait around and sit down and talk and this and that until make. That's not the proper thing to do. Besides that, also, when you have guests, they're hungry. They don't want to be dragged out to sit there and listen to stories. You could sit, say your stories at the table. But you have to make the kiddush right away. If people have a different language, let's say you have guests that they don't talk Hebrew, or you speak Hebrew, or they don't speak English, or whatever it is, and you have to talk the language that the guest speaks. Because if you talk a different language at the table, they think talking about them. That also you're giving them a argasha, a feeling that is not good. Now, let's say you want to have guests, but you can't afford to have a lot of food at the table. Or let's say somebody called and said, "Would you please have guests tonight?" He said, "Listen, I can't afford to have the best food that is out there. I can't put the table. Therefore, I'm not going to have guests." It's not true. Whatever you can have, with that you could have akhlasat orchim. It does not have to be basar v'yayin. Doesn't have to be meat and wine in order to make akhlasat orchim. Whatever you could put at the table, that's enough to make akhlasat orchim. And you don't have to feel bad about that, by the way. Because I remember once, I was in Eretz Yisrael, I went to shul for mincha. Shabbos afternoon, I went to shul for mincha. And I didn't have a place to go for shalosh seudot. I was all by myself, and I didn't know by the time I get to my place, shalosh seudot is going to be after Shikia. I'm going to miss shalosh seudot. There was somebody there, Adam Gadol was there, and I knew him. I said, "No, I'm looking for a place to have only a piece of bread. I don't need anything. I just want to have a piece of bread to have shalosh seudot. By the time I get to my place, it's going to be too late." He said, "Come with me." So I went to his house. He was so bedachak, it was unbelievable, that you know, the small pieces, you know, in Eretz Israel, wasn't, you know, people don't have enough, sometimes they don't even have enough food for themselves. It was so bedachak that I didn't feel anything bad. I mean, the fact that the guy, that this Rav, invited me to come to Israel, that was enough. That's all I wanted. But it shows that it's not only about the food. The company that people have, the guests have, the company, by itself is the biggest akhmasat orchim. It's not about how much food I'm going to put at the table and how beautiful I'm going to give them, what good food I'm going to give them. That's not the issue. Akhmasat orchim is the sevah panim yafo, that the simcha, the happy face that people show, that is the ikar. That's the main thing that people could have. We also, I think once we spoke about this before, one should not, and it's asur to do that, to put your family into, through people, inviting people that they are not, that's going to affect your children or yourself spiritually. What I mean by that is, let's say somebody is going to call and say, "Would you please have so and so to your house for Shabbos?" You know, these people are not, they are not interested to become full. And you know these people, their philosophy is not where you are. And you know these people that have kids, that they're going to affect your kids, don't invite them. There's not a mitzvah to have these people at your house. Not only is not a mitzvah, it's avera, it's a sin. To have people in your house that is going to affect your spiritual life, or going to affect your children's life, is not bichlal, is not necessary. You are not doing, it's a lot, unfortunately, people think, these people are nerach, we need to have, what are you going to gain by it? They are not interested. If they are not interested to become from, right, you are not opening a restaurant here. You have a place, your house is a place for orchim to come there, and to benefit from something. And you cannot be hurt in the process of this. If your family or children are going to get in the process of this, they're going to get hurt, forget it. You are not doing a mitzvah. That happens, unfortunately, in this community, there are people think like that. There are all kinds of people coming through, and they want a place, and they want to be invited. I'm not saying don't invite them. You have to look. Who are you bringing to your house? You have to be very careful who is coming through your house and what are you trying to accomplish with that. Not anybody that is out there and looking place for Shabbos is Oreach. And you should not do it. Be very careful and don't compromise on that, because in the long run, unfortunately, a lot of kids that they go out of Derech is through this type of thing. They get connected to these people, they become friends, and it's not only Friday night, they want to get a phone call during the week, and before you know it, the families are all friendly, and you don't know where it's going to end up with. If you know somebody's not from, and you want to get invite them, and to make characters beautiful, it's a beautiful thing to do. But you have to know who are you dealing with, and what does that mean to you and to your family. Also, another thing that is important to know, when you invite somebody, sometimes let's say you call a friend of yours, you want to invite them to come for Shabbos. You really don't want to have them, but you push to invite them. Right? You feel that you need to invite them. There is an inyan of genevut dat. When you give a wrong impression to somebody, you really don't mean what you say. That's considered genevut dat. Now, what is therefore? Let's say somebody's in the shul. So let's go home for Shabbos. Come to me for Shabbos. You really don't mean it. You're just saying it because the guy you want the guy thinks that you're really inviting him. You don't really mean it. So the Arab Ben Ishchai says that you should not do that. But if the derech haolam is, let's say the minhag is, the custom is, you say once or twice, you could say that. But don't give the feeling to the other person that you really mean it and you don't mean it. Because that's considered genevut dat, and it's asur to do this. Now, another halacha which also is important and is important to the husbands and to the wives. Let's say you have a shiur. Let's say tonight, 8 o'clock was a shiur, somebody knocked in your door and says, I want to come to your house. It's oreach. But you have a dilemma. You have a shiur and I have oreach. Which one is more important? Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says that if you can take care of this oreach without missing your shiur, you should do that. You should not give up your shiur, your class, your limud Torah, for the sake of oreach. But let's say nobody else is there. It's either you're going to take care of this guest, or this guest is going to be without. You have to tell him to leave. I can't take care of you, or I have to miss the shiur. In that situation, you miss your shiur. The achnasat orchim is more important. Another thing, let's say you have to go to shul. You have a davening. And there is a 9 o'clock ma'ariv, then you have a guest came into your house. Either you take care of the guest, and there is nobody else take care of this guest, you have to miss your tefillah betzibur. You have to miss the tefillah betzibur. Taking care of the guest is more important than the tefillah betzibur. But you have to daven by yourself, obviously. But you don't have to go to shul if there is nobody else. But if there is somebody else, you have to take care of them. Now, another thing that there's a minhag to do, by the way, it brought down in a lot of safarim to do this, that when let's say somebody came to your house, say for Shabbat, they go out of town, you give them a dollar, say, this, I'm going to make you a shaliach mitzvah. It's a beautiful thing to do. That's the mitzvah, a part of the achnasat orchim. When you do that, give somebody money to give it to wherever they are, you're doing a chesed, and also that's a part of the achnasat orchim, that you are escorting them to get their own place properly. Now, the other halacha, which also is important, is what happens, fortunately, this halacha is nogea. What happens if you have a guest and they're going to come to you on Shabbos with a car? Should you invite people like this? Shouldn't you invite people like that? And what would be what would be the proper way of dealing with this? If you're inviting somebody, and let's say they call you, they want you to have somebody for Shabbos, and you know these people are going to drive, you should only have them if you could influence them to keep Shabbos. If these people are not going to change, and you're not going to have influence on them, nothing could be done with them, then you could invite them for Friday night, tell them to come before Shabbos. Right? Or we could ask them to stay over and say, listen, I want to give you a place to stay, and you know they're not going to accept it anyways. But I said always to people, if you have no influence on them, let's say you have somebody, they drive on Shabbat, they come to your house, by seeing you making kiddush, or they see your children, that they make that sederat, so it's going to influence them somehow, something could happen, then it's kedai to invite them. But if it's not going to add nothing whatsoever, these people are going to change because of Shabbos, then what's the point? Invite them Sunday night for barbecue. What do you need to have them for Shabbos Friday night for? Why you need to call somebody to Chilul Shabbos? And by when you're telling these people that, they feel that Shabbos is not that important, I could drive. You're not helping, you're really hurting these people, and you're not giving the real message of Shabbos to them either. They have to, even if they come to your house, you say you have to also make sure they understand the reason you invited them is because you want them to have the real meaning of Shabbos, and this way they could get something out of it. If not, then there's no point of doing it. Any questions?